My name's Wes. We haven't gotten a chance to meet. I'm our lead pastor here, so thank you so much for joining us. Really excited you're here with us today. And we're continuing in a series of messages we started last week called Uncommon Sense. We're going through this book of the Bible called Proverbs. It's an ancient document about 3,000 years old, and it's a compilation of proverbs from this guy named King Solomon, who is regarded by the ancients as the wisest man who ever lived. And so this is a book that even if you're not a Christian, you may have interacted with some teaching from the book of Proverbs at some point or another in your life, which I think just shares to the power that is in this book and the wisdom that's contained in this book. And I had a couple people last week even come up to me and say, you know, hey, this is like huge. I had a guy who's a big time AA person. You know, he's been like leading groups and involved with groups for over 30 years. And he just said, yeah, anytime I meet with someone who's new to AA, who's trying to get sober, whatever, I was given the book of Proverbs. I say, you should read the book of Proverbs. It's so smart. It will shape and change your life because he saw it shape and change his 30, 35 years ago. And I thought, yeah, wow, that's a really cool story. And I think speaks to the power of the wisdom that's in this book. And so I'm looking forward for us exploring that together a little bit more this morning. There's a story that's in the Bible. It comes in this ancient document called 1 Kings. It's the last story in the book of 1 Kings. It's a document that records Israel's history several thousand years ago. And this story's always stood out to me because of one of the things that the characters in it says. There's these two kings. One is named King Ahab. He's the evil king of Israel. And he's hanging out with this homeboy, King Jehoshaphat, from the kingdom of Judah. And Ahab has it in his mind that he wants to go to war with someone. There's a city that had been conquered by a surrounding nation that used to belong to Israel that now was theirs no longer, and Ahab wanted it back. And so he knows he can't get it back on his own, so he needs to recruit some help from another army to be able to do so, hence why he's got Jehoshaphat in town. And so he makes his request to King Jehoshaphat, hey man, will you come with us and go to war with us against the Arameans? And Jehoshaphat says, hey man, like, my troops are your troops, okay? My soldiers are your soldiers. I would love to help you out. I'd love to be a part of this. But first, we should probably talk to God about it. And so Ahab says, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I love you so much, man. And so he just kind of snaps his fingers. And all of a sudden, we're told, in walk about 400 prophets. And they start, you know, chanting and carrying on and doing their, you know, prophet thing. Well, you know, I don't know what prophets do. So anyway, they did whatever that is. And they're like, oh, this is the best idea you've ever had, Ahab. This is going to be amazing. You're going to beat the Arameans. Like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. Oh, it's so awesome. Yeah, it's checking the mail. You know, is that coming our way? Yeah. And they carry on. They sing and dance. It's this really weird scene if you read the book of 1 Kings. And so after they do this for a little bit, Ahab turns to Jehoshaphat and says, all right, sounds like we heard from the Lord. So we doing this like today, tomorrow, you know, next week, what, you know, what, look in your planner, let me know what we should do. And Jehoshaphat kind of senses that they didn't really hear from the Lord. Jehoshaphat, I think, wisely intuits that, hey, I would like to hear from someone who isn't receiving a paycheck from you, King Ahab. That seems like that would be a little bit of what we call a conflict of interest. And so going all legal on you right there. And so I would like to hear from someone else. And so Ahab, here's what Jehoshaphat says. He says, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? Good question. And so Ahab, here's his response to Jehoshaphat. The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, well, there is still one prophet through whom we can inquire the Lord, and this is why I've always remembered this story. But I hate him, because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this before, where you make a statement, and as you make the statement, you're like, I cannot believe I was just stupid enough to say that out loud. Like I think that's why I appreciate this story so much, because Ahab says so plainly exactly what's operating under the surface for me all the time. I just have my filters on, and I'm too adult to say it out loud, right? But he really gets down to brass tacks. There is this one guy we could talk to, but I don't really want to talk to him because he's not going to get on board with my plan, Jehoshaphat. Like, that's why I don't want to talk to him, you know? And so, I don't know, then the story gets really weird. Jehoshaphat's like, okay, well, I guess we can go to war anyway. And so they go in. This is, I'm not even making this up. Apparently, right before they go into battle, Ahab turns to Jehoshaphat and says, hey, man, I was thinking, how about you dress like the king, and I'll just dress like a regular soldier, and you can go in front, and I'm just going to hang out back here, you know? And Jehoshaphat was like, okay, sounds good, yeah? And they walk in, and they, like, of course, they fire right at Jehoshaphat because he's the king, you know? And so, like, Jehoshaphat manages to make it through this battle alive. Ahab does not. And it goes terribly. The army is totally defeated. Ahab is killed. So now Israel's lost their leader. The kingdom's basically in shambles at this point. It goes terribly, all because Ahab did not listen to the wise advice of someone around him. So let that be a lesson to you next time you're going to war. You know, next time you want to take over, we're coming for you, Bradfordville, or whatever you're going to do. You just make sure you ask God first. So we all kind of have that thing in us that we know that this is going to, the message I'm going to preach to you today, you're going to leave today and you're going to think, I learned nothing new. Like I'm just going to tell you, that's what I strive for, to teach you nothing in 30, at least I wasted 30 minutes of your life to do it. Because you're not going to learn something that's new to you today. I guarantee you, the advice I'm going to put on the screen in just a second is something that you're going to be like, well, yeah, duh. But none of us do it. Okay? Here's the whole big idea for today. Winners at life yield to wise words from wise people. Wes, you worked all week for that? I mean, come on, man. Yeah, that's why I worked all week for right here. Winners at life will yield to wise words from wise people. In other words, you should listen to the smart people around you. That's the whole big idea of this. You should listen to wise people around you and do what they say. The end, okay? But none of us do that, right? This morning, we always have a service before the 10:30 service for those who serve during the service. And I asked them to get into groups and share some stories with other people in their groups about, hey, tell me a time when you got a wise piece of advice and you just didn't listen to it and it ended really badly for you. And everyone had a wise piece that they had ignored. And almost everyone had a piece of advice they ignored that came from their mom or from their dad. Okay, so that was universal to almost everyone. We all know we should listen to the wise people around us. And yet, for whatever reason, we never do that. Okay? And so here's what this means. This is going to hurt a little bit. I'm just warning you. You are the primary barrier to benefiting from the wise words of wise people. Okay? So I just want us, I'm going to count to three, and then on three, I just want you to go, I'm the problem. Okay? We're all going to do this together. All right? One, two, three. That's right. That's a little louder. We want to make sure we get that. Okay? You are the primary barrier to benefiting from wise words from wise people. Isn't that true? I either shut them out or I let it go in one ear and out the other. And we would never say it that way, but Ahab's words 3,000 years ago are exactly the same words that we think today, aren't they? I know I should listen to mom, but she never gets on board with my agenda. I know I should listen to my boss, but I just don't like him. Whatever the thing is, And right there, I'm being a barrier to benefiting from the wise words from wise people. King Solomon in the book of Proverbs, here's what he says. The way of fools seems right to them. This is the most obvious statement in all of Scripture. Of course your way seems right to you. It's your way, right? I had a theology professor in college, and he always said, no one advertises on their church sign, come to our church, we're wrong. His point was, anytime you think something, of course you think it's right. You wouldn't advertise it if you thought it was wrong, right? You think everything you think is right, and that's the problem. The way of fools always seems right to them. But of course, we've all made some decisions where when I was walking into it, I thought, man, what a great idea, Well, they know that I don't, and it turns out, a lot, actually, was the answer of that. Because the way of fools seems right to them, Proverbs says. Now, I thought really long and hard this week. This may be the most important thing I'm going to say to you in the message today. So listen up. This is premium content right here, okay? I thought long and hard about my life, and I thought about, so why don't I listen? What happens in me that causes me not to listen to the wise words of people around me? And I came up with three thought processes. These aren't all-encompassing or everything. They captured a lot of mine. Maybe you can add some to yours. You can talk about that at the dinner table tonight or whatever you do, okay? Here's the first thing I think sometimes. My situation is unique. Everything about you, that works great for those people, not for me, right? So we say it sometimes as, you got to meet my wife, right? Oh, that might work for your kids, not on my kids. you're not in their class. You're in that class, right? You don't have that professor. You don't have that boss. Okay, you're in that major, not this major, you know? I mean, that might work for people who have like a six-figure income. I have a four-figure income right now, and two of the figures are after the decimal point, you know? Like, this is a really big problem. My situation is unique. You don't understand right now. And I just got to tell you, that's a load of junk, okay? That is you getting in the way of making wise decisions. Because here's the thing. Every decision you ever make, I guarantee you could find a way to weasel out of it and make it unique. Like if someone gives you marriage advice, you know, you'd be like, oh, well, is your wife 5'3"? Oh, no. Well, forget it. You know, and we know that's so ridiculous, right? Like, what does that matter? Because here's the thing. This is so anti-American. I'm very sorry. I'm not really that sorry, but I just need to prep you, okay? You're not that special. And I'm not that special, and you're not unique, and I'm not that unique, okay? Like, it's great. I love celebrating the beautiful ways God has created each and every one of us in this room and each and every person in this world, but we are way more alike than we are different. And just step back and think about this for a second. The book of Proverbs, a 3,000-year-old book written thousands of miles away in a culture completely different from our own, has deeply affected people from all around the world for thousands of years in many different cultures with many different life stages and many different income levels and education levels and economic levels, precisely because you aren't that unique and I am not that unique. And so the minute I start thinking that about wise advice in my mind, I should just shuttle that to the curb, right? That is bad advice. I should not listen to that. Here's the second thing. You don't get it. You ever thought this? Okay, this is basically my situation is unique, except this one puts all the onus on them instead of you, okay? Before I worked at Crossbridge, I worked at a church in Chicago called Suncrest, and I had a boss. His name was Dan Donaldson, and Dan and I could not be more different, okay? Dan was actually, I think he was like a walk-on receiver at the University of Cal Berkeley when he was in college, and I one time played as Cal Berkeley on NCAA 2K something, so we are very alike in that way. Dan was like 49 or 50 when he became my boss. I was like 26, okay, so we're from pretty different generations. Dan is one of those guys, he's like a hard-charging, get it done, you know, like I don't care if bodies are strewn all around me, we're getting this done, you know, like we're doing it. And I'm kind of like, hey, we can do that, but I mean, like, it's cool. I want to be your friend, too, while we do it, you know? Like, I was asking someone, I'm trying to find a GP to go to, like a doctor to see here, and I was asking a friend, and he was like, I mean, I feel like he's got a good bedside manner for me, but you're probably going to want someone more gentle, Wes. And so I was like, oh, okay, thanks. And so like, we're just like not, you know, like there are a number of different ways where we are very different. And so frequently what would happen is Dan would give me advice, which when they're your boss, it's called a command, actually, is what they call that. And I would just not listen to it, or I'd wriggle my way out of it, or I'd find a way to somehow ignore it, because I thought Dan didn't get it. And it breaks my heart to tell you, Dan did get it, actually, a lot better than I did, it turns out. And by the time my employment with Suncrest ended, I walked away with a lot of respect for my boss, Dan Donaldson, because I found out, wow, you don't get it. Like, often I'm the one that doesn't get it when I start accusing people of that. And maybe that's the case for you, too. Here's a third piece of advice. I'm in too deep. Okay? There's a term for this. It's called sunk cost, okay? Sunk cost is this thing that happens when you put a lot of resources into something or someone, and you've put so many resources, you've sunk so much into it that you're unable to walk away from it because it feels like such a loss at that point, okay? College football teams experience this all the time when it's like, well, we'd love to fire this head coach, but we'd also love to hang on to the $10 million we'd owe him after we do so, okay? That's called sunk cost, okay? I'm not trying to be stereotypical. I'm not trying to be mean, okay? I just want to tell you, I've been a pastor for a decade, and if you're a single woman, you should listen really, really closely right now. This happens more often with single dating people than any issue I have experienced in my entire life ever. The end, period, declarative statement, end of story, okay? Full stop. Like anything. Like, ladies, I get it. He's very religious. He says Jesus all the time. We can ignore the fact that it's normally like, Jesus, why do you talk about God so much? You know, it's stuff like that, okay? Like, I understand that, okay? But here's what I'm here to tell you. Refusing to make a decision you know is the right decision to make because previously you did not make the right decision is a bad reason not to make the right decision now. That is a surefire way to allow the problem that you got yourself into 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, okay? Don't let that continue to call the shots today. You're way cooler, you're way smarter, you're way wiser than you today than you were back then, okay? You should make decisions that way, right? I'm in too deep is terrible. How many times have you caught yourself thinking, yeah, you're right, I really should do that, but we're going to keep going this direction anyway, you know, like that. It's like, my goodness, how ridiculous is that? Come on. So just to, you know, clarify, to make sure we're all equally depressed. You're not special. They're smarter than you. Stop it. You know, I don't know. Like that's the summary right there. We're very inspirational today. Okay. Now, earlier I read you this verse from Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12. The way of the fool seems right to them, but I didn't read you the second half. Here's what the second half says. The wise listen to advice. Winners at life yield to wise words from wise people, okay? Wise people listen to advice, which this kind of gets us into a little bit of a conundrum because I think you've probably figured out not everyone around you is equally wise and equally worthy of giving you advice, okay? If I give you advice on spiritual matters, that's probably worth like a 3 out of 10, okay? If you ask me to help you with your investment portfolio, that's going to work out terribly for you, okay? That's a bad idea. Not everyone is equally qualified to give advice, okay? So how do we figure out who those people are that we need to turn to? Well, thankfully, Solomon also talks a lot about that in the book of Proverbs. So I want to give you a couple thoughts on that. Number one, wise people are learners. When you encounter someone who is a teachable person, that is a person who is often a wise person. And don't overthink this. People who learn walk into situations and circumstances believing, I can learn. And it is precisely because they learn that they learn. Does that make sense? Okay, you learn because you learn, okay? Like, you grow in wisdom because you walk in with a posture that says, I have something to learn here. That's what makes you so wise. Wise people are teachable. They're learners. They learn from their own life experience. They learn from God when they open up the scriptures. They learn. Here's what wise people around you do. They are covertly listening for your failures. Because when you tell them, oh man, I made this decision and that was a bad idea, they're filing that away, okay? They're thinking, man, I'm so glad Jim did that so I don't have to do that, okay? Here's what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 9. He says, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Why? Because they're learners. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning, okay? Wise people learn. Wise people listen. They win at life because they listen to the wise words and the wise sayings and the wise teachings of the people around them. Instruct the wise and they grow wise. When you encounter someone who allows himself to be in a posture, in a place where they are instructed, that's a beautiful thing, okay? We have a lot of college students here. College students, I don't know if this is still a thing, you know, 10 years after I went to college, but I remember going to a few college classes where there was always that one or two people in the class, and you're like, oh, man, it seems like you know so much. Maybe you should teach the class. You know, oh, what do you have a PhD in? Oh, nothingology? Oh, that's right, man. Thank you so much for interjecting all of your meaningless thoughts that aren't on the test. That's so helpful right now, right? Like, we all know those people. Those are not wise people, okay? Wise people understand, I don't know everything. And they learn. And they grow. Second thing wise people are, wise people will love you enough to lock horns with you. Wise people will risk the relationship. They are willing to say, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound like a good idea, because they love you and they care about you. Okay, now this isn't wise people are argumentative. This isn't wise people are quarrelsome. Okay, wise people probably aren't hanging out on Facebook, you know, just patrolling the block to make sure they can let everyone know what to think about everything, okay? Wise people, though, are willing to risk the relationship to help you grow in wisdom, okay? Here's what Proverbs says. Solomon says, Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now, here's what I've noticed I tend to do in my life. Maybe you do this in yours, too. I like to surround myself with people who kiss up to me. I love kisses. I just think that's great. And what Solomon says is those people are your enemy. Those people are not helping you. They're not leading you into the life God wants you to have and to experience. Wounds from a friend, however, can be trusted, okay? I heard it said, a true friend will stab you in the front, right? Like they aren't afraid to let you know. They aren't afraid to kind of show you where it's at. True friends understand, I love you enough to be willing to tell you when you are going astray. When I encounter people like that, here's just honest to God truth, I push them away. Here's what I do. I say, I don't need toxic people in my life, you know? And I remember for a long time on Facebook, I had friends that like, if you have drama in your life, I don't need your drama in mine or whatever, you know? And I just get like, oh, you're so negative. Oh, you're such a naysayer. Oh, and I start playing those thoughts we talked about earlier. They just start turning in my head. They start going and going and going. And I do so to my detriment, and you do too. When someone loves you enough to confront you, that is a person you need to hang on to, okay? Here's a third thing about wise people. It's not so much about wise people as much as it is just the quantity of wise people. Wise people are better in bunches, okay? Proverbs is clear, just front to back on this. I want to read you a couple verses here in succession. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through, let's just say that word together, victory is won through many advisors. Next verse. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with, let's say it again, many advisors, they succeed. Last one. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through. Oh, what, are you catching on to something here, right? Like this is something, it's so obvious, you almost walk over. I almost didn't realize this when I was, you know, studying this week, but it's really true. That wise people, I mean, it's great to have a wise person. It's great to have more than one wise person, multiple wise people. Because victory is won, Proverbs tells us many times, through many advisors. So earlier I was telling you about my boss, Dan. Some of you may know this about my story, but I used to be, our church in Chicago is a multi-site church, and unfortunately the site I led had to shut down. And what had happened in the year previously before that had happened was my meeting with Dan turned from a one-on-one meeting to a like two-on-one, or I don't know how you want to think of it, but it was me, my boss, Dan, and then like my kind of organizational equal in our church, a guy named Jamie, who's a really good friend of mine. And Jamie and Dan are really wise. They're really smart. If you follow me on Instagram, I posted something that Jamie was sharing at our church in Chicago a while back. He's just so smart, and anytime he tells me to do something, most of the time I listen, unless it's a bad idea and I push him away, as I have shared with you earlier. So I'm trying not to do that. This is as much a message for me as it is for you. Anyway, so it would be Jamie and Dan and I, and we'd talk, you know, Jamie and I bring our stuff to Dan. It's like, hey, we need some help with this, and Dan would usually have some stuff. He's like, hey, I want you to focus on this, or we need to do this, or trying to implement that, and it just became like a really, Thursday morning breakfast was like a thing that I really looked forward to each week with those two guys. And when I lost my job and our campus shut down, Jamie and Dan cut me a deal, and they basically said, hey, we will let you continue just keep coming to breakfast with us each week. And, like, we'll talk about our Suncrest stuff, but, like, you're looking for a job, man. Like, I'm sure you could use some wisdom and some help from that. And I was like, oh, that sounds really great. And if nothing else, you know, and I'm like, I don't have a job, I'm such a loser. You know, like, people will be there to, like, be my friend and stuff like that. And so I would come to this thing. And, like, I can't tell you through that whole job search process how invaluable those two guys were. And here's the thing I noticed is, when Dan or Jamie, like, individually gave me a piece of advice, it was easy for me to neglect it, okay? When you think about the wise advice in your life you've neglected, I guarantee it was almost always because it was just you and one wise person. But when two wise people gang up on you, or as they call it, agree with one another, it's really hard to disregard that. Because, like, Dan would say something, I could dismiss him as, like, out of touch or whatever, yeah. But when Dan and Jamie together would say something, I even... boneheaded as I am, knew there's probably something I should listen to here. There's probably some wise advice I should yield to here. I should probably enact this principle that they're sharing in my life, because many wise people, bunches of wise people, are better than just one wise person. If you have one wise person, great. But it's better if you have two. And three is better than two. And four is better than three. And the whole rest of this message is just going to be me saying that number is greater than that number, okay? So So wise people are better in bunches. Now, I want to finish with this. I want to read to you one last verse from the book of Proverbs here. Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Now, I want us to leave this up here for a second, because I think there's an encouraging thing up here, and I think there's a warning up here for us. The encouraging thing is, if you feel like, I am a total idiot, right? Like, I am not wise, I do not know, I just know that's not who I am. Here's the great encouragement. Solomon says, you can become wise just by walking with wise people. It's as simple as that. Just hang out with wise people, and it rubs off on you. And I can attest, I'm not a very smart person, but I've been privileged to hang out with a lot of smart, wise people. And I think like one or two pieces of it has probably rubbed off on me at some point or another, okay? I tried to rub them off, but they just stuck, okay? That's part of who I am. Because when you walk with the wise, you do become wise. You learn how they think. You start to see life as connected. You start to understand how choices you make impact other things that you experience, okay? When you walk with the wise, you really do become wise. But here's the warning. A companion of fools suffers harm. Now, here's the surprising thing to me. If I was writing this, I would expect for Solomon, right, walk with the wise and become wise, walk with foolish people and become foolish, right? You'd expect him to say something like that. And what he doesn't say that. He says, being a companion of fools doesn't just mean you become foolish. It means you suffer harm. And you have probably experienced this before, as I have in my life, haven't you? Where you surrounded yourself with the wrong people and you paid the price. And you saw something bad happen as a result of it. Even, like, I've noticed this. When I hang out with the wrong crowd of people, I have this uncanny ability to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Have you ever noticed that happens when you're hanging out with foolish people a lot? A companion of fools suffers harm. And here's the reason why I'm harping on this with you is because more is at stake with this than you think, right? This is not just, oh, yeah, it'd be a really good idea if I listened to people. This is, I don't want you to suffer harm. That is what God is trying to scream at you through his scripture. Please do not suffer unnecessary difficulty in your life as a result of a refusal on your part to simply walk with wise people. More is at stake with this than you think, okay? Your job and your growth could be at stake. Your marriage, your relationships are at stake. Your money and your financial security is at stake. All kinds of different things are at stake. And the practice that I am begging and asking and hoping and pleading for you to implement is just walk with wise people, because I love you enough not to want you to suffer harm. So do it. No, I'm just kidding. So I understand walking with the wise. We can all realize, okay, we need to do this. I want to do this. I know I should associate with wise people. But like, it's like, okay, go find wise people. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? Go to Applebee's after service and be like, hey, are you a wise person? Will you be my friend? Okay. So here's what we try to do as a church. We have these things we have called community groups. Okay. They're not perfect. And I can promise you because they let me join them. So they are not perfect things. Okay. They're full of imperfect people. Of varying levels of wisdom, okay? You're not going to walk in and be surrounded by like 10, you know, amazing, understand everything people. But here's what you will be surrounded by. You'll be surrounded by people who are trying to go in the same wise direction together. You'll be surrounded by some people who, yeah, are still figuring it out, who are still trying to put it together, who don't know everything, okay? But they're trying, right? They're moving in the right direction. And when you surround yourself with those kind of friendships, it could be a first step for you to walk with the wise, okay? This is not the end-all, be-all step. Some of you, as I'm speaking, you can think of a face, a name, a person in your life where it's like, I've been kind of keeping them at arm's length, and that was intentional because I don't like that they don't agree with me all the time, or I don't like that they think this way or feel that way or whatever. And maybe the thing you need to do is kind of pull them in a little bit closer, okay? Maybe you need to associate with that. But if you're in a place where you're like, hey, I know I need some wise friendships. I know I need some wise relationships. Here's the encouragement I have for you. You need to join a community group, okay? It's a group of 6 to 12 people. They meet in someone's home. As far as I know, like, they don't, like, chant. There's no, like, magic spells or anything that they cast, okay? No one has any, like, Kool-Aid or, like, something that you have to drink to, like, join in, okay? It's totally safe. It's totally fine. It's going to be a little awkward when you walk in because there's new people. Like, you will have to meet people, okay? So prepping you right now for that, okay? But you can do this. This is a good step for you to walk with wise people. I have benefited from our community groups, from the wise people in our community groups. And what I know is it would be a great thing for you to join one, okay? So here's what we're going to do. If that's you, okay, you have two things you can do. You can grab one of those connection cards in the little baskets on the end of your seat, and you can grab a pen from there, and you can just check on the back, hey, I want to join a community group. I heard these are super sweet. I heard these are super awesome. Wes was like, he so sold me. Man, I could totally tell his dad was a used car salesman because I want to get in a community group now, okay? And you can just fill that out, put your name and like your phone number or your email. If you're under 35 and you're like, I have never used my phone to actually physically talk to someone, you better text me. You can even write text only. Don't even try to call, you know, whatever. And I promise you we'll just text you on the bottom of your program. If getting a connection card is too hard, bottom of your program, there's just a little spot you can check. I want to learn about a community group. And then you just put your name and how you would like us to contact you. Again, if you want text, let us know. If you want email, let us know. If you want a carrier pigeon, let us know. We're going to do it, okay? And then all you have to do is just like rip off that little section and you can just drop it. See that black box right there? Just drop it right in there. You don't even have to talk to anyone to do it. It is as easy as possible. We're trying to make this as simple a next step because we want you to walk with wise people. Because winners at life yield to wise words from wise people. I have seen this time and time again in my life. I know you can see it in yours too. I want you to take the steps to get there. So let me pray for us to do that. Jesus, I thank you so much for the wisdom that you reveal to us in Scripture. Thank you so much for the fact that becoming wise is as simple as associating with wise people. And so, Father, I pray you would help all of us in this room, myself included, to do that, to humble ourselves, to reach out in relationship with people that we know we need to be in proximity to. Whether those are people in the community group, whether those are family members you've blessed us, or coworkers, or boss, or a friend, or whoever it is. Father, help us to humble ourselves that we might be able to follow you and walk in the blessing that you prepare for people who follow you and walk with you wisely. We pray this, Jesus, in your powerful and perfect name. Amen.